This afternoon, I'm talking to Charlie DeGale. You're working with Macmillan Cancer Support on their new initiative, Find the Words. So, Charlie, welcome to Radio Jackie. Tell me a little bit about your part of the initiative in Find the Words.
I've done a bit of work with Macmillan through the podcast Black Men Rising, and it was a podcast which took place, I think, must be about a couple of years ago during the lockdown, and it was just to try and encourage men of colour who have been through a cancer experience, whether they've been through cancer themselves or they've had a relative or friend who has been who had cancer, and just to find out their thoughts, their feelings, what they were going through mentally at the time. You know, what prompted them to speak on the podcast and that. So it's just to encourage people of colour to speak about their not only their cancer experiences but their illnesses, not to be scared to speak and to open up, whether it's, you know, while going through the illness or after. So yeah, I worked with the Macmillan initiative with that a couple of years ago, and ever since then, you know, I've been encouraged to, or I've helped them to encourage, on different promotional campaigns to basically just to encourage people to speak up, and you know, to prior to, if they've got anything wrong or they feel that there's something wrong and they don't feel well, to go to their doctors, to approach their doctor to speak and to open up, so that if it's potentially cancer, that there could be, you know, early treatment,
yeah,
and to help with their recovery.
It's a problem with men of colour, but with all men, that they feel it's very difficult to express their feelings because they're the breadwinner, they're the head of the family. It's a thing that all men have, is that they feel quite afeared of showing any sort of weakness. Because I mean, Macmillan have just produced a lovely set of photographs from celebrities who have been touched by cancer in their lives, just to say, you know, men do have problems, but yet find it more difficult to speak. So you yourself had a cancer diagnosis in, I think, 2016, a germ cell tumour. How did you feel when you got that diagnosis? Did you feel very alone? Did you feel you couldn't talk to anyone?
Yes, at the time, it was an awful time, because I didn't know. I came back from America having done a bit of coaching and football coaching to celebrate my 50th birthday. When I got back, I felt this pain in my hip, went to get it checked out, and I needed a hip replacement. And prior to that, they had to do the surgery itself. They had to do all these tests, and all my tests came back. My blood tests especially came back all over the place. So while the investigations were going on, and they kept going on, not only in terms of blood tests, but x-rays and CT scans and what have you, they couldn't find out what was going on. And I think after about a month of investigations, I started to get the feeling that it was cancer. It was just funny. I got this feeling, I bet it's cancer. And, you know, my thoughts and feelings turned out to be true. I was scared. I ain't going to lie. I was scared, especially when it got to the point where I had to ask the professor dealing with my case, Professor Seckel, what are my chances? And he said the next 48 hours are crucial. And it wasn't until that point they actually hit home that my life was in the balance. So I was really scared, really scared. I lent on my family a lot, especially my mum at the time, and, you know, my friends, my partner at the time. I really had to lean on them to get courage. And obviously, I'd been to church, and I was going to church. I grew up in the church. And up until that point, I never knew what faith actually meant until that moment. So I really delved into my church, my faith, my Christianity, to give me the strength to get through the treatment. So it was scary to open up about my feelings. And at the time, I wouldn't speak to my family or my friends about everything. And what I didn't speak to them about, I put in a journal, and I wrote in that journal how I was feeling and what happened each day going through my the treatment. And that really helped a lot to give me strength. That's how I dealt with it at the time.
But you've gone on from then. You've actually produced this Black Men Rising podcast where you've spoken to a lot of one of them. The interesting one I just listened to recently was the one with Alfred, who was diagnosed with stage four prostate cancer, which is a very way down the lane for diagnosis in cancer. And he had clinical trials and he survived that. And he said a very interesting comment, which I picked up on. He said he was too busy making a living to live life, to look. He had symptoms, and prostate cancer is, well, one in four Black men will get prostate cancer in their life, compared to, I think, one in eight Caucasian, one in 13 Asian. So it's something that's got to be considered, that it's
Definitely.
more common in Black men. And do you think Black men find it even more difficult than Caucasian men to talk about their problems? Is it a familiar thing? Is it, why do you think that is?
I just think, I mean, I my mum's from Jamaica and my dad's from Grenada, and but using my dad's as an example, he suffered with kidney failure. Unfortunately, he passed away the early stages of the lockdown, and at the time that he was going having symptoms of diabetes, he took it lightly. It was one of those attitudes that it was, it will go away. It wasn't until my mum prompted him to go to the doctors and to start the investigation around that. And I think that, one of diabetes is a symptoms of kidney failure. And I think that if my dad had taken it seriously from the beginning, whether or not his chance of survival would have been a lot better. He ended up on home dialysis, and my mum had to take care of him and everything else. But I do feel that, and from the podcasts and from the interviews that I did, that it is kind of it's this laid back attitude on illness and not feeling well that, it's kind of within our culture, and it's not until it's taken seriously by then it's too late. It's the attitude of, oh, it will go away, it will pass, it's nothing to worry about, it's nothing to speak about, why are you worrying about it for? And it's this type of attitude that I feel, we need to, kind of educate on. And I recently went to the Prostate Cancer Walk for Men, and some of the speakers there, it's that same attitude which surrounds prostate cancer and the reasons why. Again, not only Black men, but white people of all colors, men in general. It's like, the strong matriarch or whatever you want to call it. It's like, yeah, don't worry, we'll get over it. It will pass. By then, it's too late. And so this, which is why, the kind of these type of events and, the podcasts and just speaking to you, I think it's quite important to try and get that message out that no matter what it is, whether big or small, no matter what, go to the doctors, get it checked out. It may well be nothing, but it could be something, and it could be something that could be dealt with quickly before it gets any more serious.
I think the early symptoms are things that men should be more very aware of. This the PSA test they have done, the physical examination they can have done. Prostate cancers often give similar symptoms to prostatitis, which is when the prostate gland gets bigger with age, and that can cause frequent urination at night. And I think people need to be educated into the difference between the two and to go to their doctors. In one of the podcasts, you also mentioned about genetics. So this has been a history of breast cancer in the female line of the family. It's more likely to cause prostate cancer, or you're more likely to get prostate cancer if you're in that along that male line as well, which is a very interesting statistic that one of your speakers told you.
Yeah, definitely, because at the time I was diagnosed, two of my cousins were diagnosed around the same times, different types of cancers, but they're both diagnosed at the same time. And both are no longer here. We were diagnosed with cancer, you know, within 2 or 3 months of each other. And it was a frightening time for our family. So, which is why I think when I was diagnosed and I said the same thing, that they were going to, do some investigations within our family history around it, because, it was frightening. I hate the disease. I want to do all I can to raise awareness, which is, why I want to speak to you and yourselves and, do all the fundraising or whatever that I can. It's about raising awareness, and no matter what, I must admit, coming out of it post-cancer, I didn't open up. I could not open up until somebody forced me to attend this, encouraged by the Macmillan and everything, to seek counselling, which I never thought in a million years that I would ever do. But cancer forced me to do that. So now I don't take it for granted.
And how helpful were Macmillan for you during your journey through your cancer to where you are now?
Well, yeah, brilliant. Because at the time when I was diagnosed, I was in hospital, I was assigned a Macmillan nurse. It gave me all the information about all the information that I needed in terms of trying to keep myself fit during treatment, what to expect. And they helped me financially as well, because at the time I was struggling financially with travel and getting to and from hospital. So I was able to get a grant to help with travel costs and what have you. And, whatever help I needed, they were just like a phone call away. And also, I had while I was having treatment, I had a Macmillan nurse on site. So all that help, I'd never forget. It was brilliant. Yeah.
How's this campaign going to work with you? How are you going to get out to men, all men, particularly men of colour like yourself, to find the words to talk about their symptoms, how they cope with cancer, pre-diagnosis, post-diagnosis? How are you going to encourage people to find those words?
Well, I've literally just started with the help of that Macmillan. I've been there's press, stuff going out to the local press about with my story, so to speak up. So that's going out locally. At the moment, I've become involved with this new app called Storyboard, and it's to get people to open up about whatever they're going through, whether it's mental health and anxiety, coping with a family loss, all sorts of things. And you could log on to this app to speak to those and to communicate with those who've gone through a similar experience. And I've just set up a group on there for those who have gone through an early cancer diagnosis, whether no matter what, you there is a place for you to speak about your thoughts, your feelings, what you're going through. If there's anything that you're scared about, we could all provide advice. So it's a group that have gone through a similar experience that could help each other. Also, just by showing how much stronger I have become since cancer. I mean, cancer, going through that, I was at my weakest point, but now, having survived and that experience, I think I'm at the strongest point in my life. So just by telling my story, you know, it hopefully it would help people not to be scared and just to be just to no matter what, just go and speak up and speak out, you know, just go and speak to my world, whatever. I spoke to my mum. I was scared to speak to my mum at the time, but
why? So, why? What do you think she'd say? Why were you scared to speak to your mum?
At the time, it was, I suppose, again, it's that man thing again.
Yeah.
My breasts, my nipples were hard. I was coughing a lot, wasn't unusual because colds and flus and everything like that. My coughs became more persistent, but my breasts, my nipples were hard. And I think I thought that's weird. And at the time I was thinking, oh, this doesn't feel totally right. But then not only did they become hard, they started to become a little bit more painful. And it was at that point when they got painful, I said to my mum, Mum, can you have a feel of this? You feel have a feel of my breasts, my nipples. And as she said, I was just like, my fear at the time of them being painful, that as soon as she felt them, she said, get yourself down to host doctors. And it wasn't until I heard those words that I had the courage to visit my local GP.
Yeah. So what we're saying is, you know, we all get up every day and we have the odd ache or pain here or there. Something that persistently is different, because cancer takes on not just one disease, it's a multitude of diseases wrapped up in one word, which people call the dreaded C word. We all live in fear. We're told that one in three of us will get a cancer of some kind in our lifetime, depending on, it doesn't even matter what ethnicity we are. But there are certain cancers. I think you've told me that for men with prostate cancer, it's an easy one to basically cure if it's caught early. And it's the early symptoms that I think what you're advocating are that if you've got any early symptoms, just go along to your GP. Keep going. But Charlie, you've been so brave because you're actually saying you are stronger having had a cancer diagnosis and coming through that cancer diagnosis. You feel now you are actually a different person. Would that be right?
Most definitely. Most definitely. I'm a different person whereby I want to help others more than ever than I did before. I'm stronger mentally, where probably cancer, during going through cancer, I was at my weakest. I feel that if I'd been weak during that time, you know, my treatment would have been a lot worse. So I had to be positive, and having beaten that and gone through that, my mindset now is that if I can beat cancer, I can do anything. I can achieve anything. And that's what I've gone on to do to this point. I probably I'm not the same, obviously not the same person now, but I'm proud of the person that I am now, because having raised loads and loads of money for Children with Cancer UK, doing the London Marathon, the last 6 years. When I started an open university degree, and when I started it, when I got my cancer diagnosis, I tried to work. I'd just started the degree and I tried to work through that, but I couldn't. I had to stop after a week. So I had to put it on hold. And as soon as I beat cancer, I restarted the degree, and 6 years later with Open University, I graduated last week with a BSc honours in sports, fitness and coaching after Charlie, 6 years.
Well, well done, yeah. Charlie. That's amazing. Be proud.
Yeah, totally. I'm totally proud. And to do the, different, you know, so many different opportunities have come my way, because of my cancer survival, and it's made me not only stronger but more confident in communicating with people, whereas before, growing up, I was quite shy, I'm a better person for it and a stronger person for it. So I just want to do all I can to help.
Well, you're doing a huge amount, so thank you for coming to talk to me on Radio Jackie. Is there anything you want to add to a short couple of sentences to say to Radio Jackie listeners?
First of all, I went to the Prostate Cancer Walk at Battersea Park a couple of weeks ago, and I heard celebrities get up and talk about the fact that there's no prostate cancer screening program, whereas there's a breast cancer screening program. But with the thousands of men who are dying in this country with prostate cancer within the UK, there's no screening program. So please, somehow, NHS government, do something about it. Get a screening program sorted. And please, my last words is this: no matter how big or small in terms of your health is important. You want to live to be able to see your family. You want to be able to live to see, the things that we take for granted every day. Whatever, big or small, get out, get to your GP, get them to, don't be scared. Just speak about whatever it is wrong with you. And it could well be that you could, it could something could be detected that could in the long term save your life. Whereas if you keep quiet about it, the ending could be a hell of a lot scarier. So just get to your GP, and whatever's wrong with you, don't be scared. Speak out.
Charlie, thank you. They are the right words. You found the words, and I hope your encouragement will go out to every man and anybody to go and get help if you feel they need it. So thank you again. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you.